Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all out here this morning. What an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. Who enjoys this cool weather we're having? Isn't this awesome? Spoke to some folks from Illinois today and looking at my home family in Missouri. It's like nothing. It's like nothing there. It's snowing. But we are blessed to be here. I'm glad you're in church with us today. If you're a first-time visitor or just maybe second or third visit, I want to continue to welcome you to Lakeside United Methodist Church. If you haven't been introduced, I'm Pastor David Branson. I try to say hello to everyone as they come in, but we're just glad that you're here today. And as a reminder, to fill out your Connect card, you can find them in your bulletins and drop them in the offering plate as it comes around this morning. That's how we register attendance here. And any messages that you'd like to get to the office or myself, that would be the best way to do that. I want to thank the United Methodist men. Let's give them a hand. If you weren't here last week, you missed a great service. The United Methodist men was Men's Sunday, and I went on Tuesday. When I got back home, I was away last weekend on a little R&R. And I watched the video, and they did an awesome job. I'm very proud of you guys, and grateful that you all step up. And I understand, and I counted them, so I would be short. 19 men in the choir. So with that being said, we should have all the seats filled this morning. So where are you at? That doesn't mean once a year. That means you can join us other times as well. So thank you for that. I want to thank Andy Chapman as well for his testimony. It was very touching. And my story, I have a similar story to his of losing a wife. So Andy's not here today, but I would just like to thank him as well for doing a great job with his testimony. Our men's retreat's coming up. Who's going on a men's retreat? And you can't go on a men's retreat. I think right now we've got about 13 men going on a men's retreat to the Rainbow River. We're going to have an awesome time. I just want to remind you that we're going to have a little informational meeting after church today in the library. So after you have a chance to grab a snack over there, let's gather up in the library and give you the information about what we're leaving and some of the details, things to bring, and that sort of thing. So if you're going on a men's retreat, let's meet in the library after church today. So we're going to have a great time, and it's just going to be a blessing for us to get away and be in fellowship with one another. Reminder as well, United Methodist Women's Call to Prayer is next Saturday. So I want to remind you, if you're participating in that, that's going on next Saturday. A lot of things going on in the life of our church. Watch your bulletins and newsletters. Newsletters will be out at the first part of the week, so just to keep your eyes on that in the calendar and all the activities going on in the life of our church. Today is Blanket Sunday. If you've noticed here, Church World Services, we're going to have a presentation today and talk about the great work that they do in the world and how we as well can be a part of that. There's a special offering envelope in your bulletin today for that, so we hope that you're generous with that and you'll know more about it and watch a little video. So we'll be blessed by that presentation as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Oh, I'll be loved you. Oh, I'll be loved you. We come to behold your power and your glory.
We come to hear the love, the love that means more than the Christ itself.
We come as guests to your rich banquet.
You are our God. We seek you and are satisfied.
Please continue standing for the opening hymn. It will be projected on the PowerPoint and on the hymnal, page 133.
Thank you.
areas. Blanket Sunday is just one of the things. You've seen a gentleman throwing those fishing nets, so they provide fishing nets as well. But this organization is very, very good about reaching out to those in need and natural disasters as well. We're going to continue with a little bit of an explanation when we do the children's message this morning. So I'd like to invite Michael to come forward to pray for us, and then we will pray for the church portal service for Blanket Sunday as well.
Let's bow our head for prayer. First, let's pray. Let's pray for Blanket Sunday and the people who lives are being enriched by the simple, simple comfort of life. Oh God, a plenty. You set a banquet before us that is generous and life-giving. You serve us the very best foods, your love and loyalty, your faithfulness and strength, your work that satisfies, your deep wisdom, and your abundant mercy. You call us to this feast. Anyone who thirsts, anyone who hungers, anyone who seeks, come, come, come. You promise that your feast will satisfy us as nothing else can. And so we call out to you, O God, for you and there, and we come. In the Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Now, you can't sing praise songs. I lost my voice today, so can't sing praise songs sitting down. So stand, please. And the second song is How Great Thou Art. Now, since I can't sing, you guys need to sing for me. So please join us. Jada, what do you think? about if a, I need a big fat pillow when I sleep. Could I roll this up? That would make a pretty good pillow, wouldn't it? Huh? So we've got something that'll keep us warm. We've got something. Well, sure, you could lay your head on that. That would be a good pillow. We could make a tent out of it. What if we had a bunch of things to carry? What would we do with it? We'd lay all our things in the center of it. We would pull these corners up. We could have all of our belongings in there. We could throw it over our shoulder, and what is it? Our suitcase, huh? That would work as a suitcase, wouldn't it? So now, how many things have we found we can do with a blanket? Keep warm. What else? A tent? A pillow? A suitcase? If mosquitoes are real bad, we could do this. And mosquito? No? Why not? It would work. There's a lot of things we can do with something that looks so simple as a blanket, isn't there? But you know what? This type of blanket, you see this emblem on the side of it here? See what that says? What's on there? What do we see? What is that? Two hands and a cross? Church World Service. You know what this blanket does? Those are helping hands. Those are God's hands. Those are our hands representing God's helping hands. But what does this blanket do more than anything else? What? Not just keeping us warm or carrying our things or fanning mosquitoes. You know what this blanket does? It tells the person that gets this blanket that someone loves them. Whoa. Does it make you feel better when you think someone loves you or knows that someone loves you? Love's pretty cool, isn't it? So if we were to give this blanket to somebody that might have had a tornado that destroyed their house or a flood or famine somewhere in the world, and they got this blanket, I would hope that when they put the blanket around them, they would feel our love. You think they would? I think they would too. I think they would know that someone cares enough about them to have a little envelope in their bulletins and put a couple dollars in there or whatever. Maybe a couple $1,000 or $1,000,000 or whatever you think. If you need more envelopes, there's more in the back and I will get them for you. But what we're telling people to get this is that we love you and we care about you and we want you to be comforted in some way. That's a good thing, right? I think so, too. Thank you, Ms. Beverly.
Thank you.
Today is Blanket Sunday, and we're letting the world know that we care about people and we love people. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for allowing us to be your vessel, to reach out to those that have suffered disaster or tragedy in their lives, natural disaster, man-made famine. Father, whatever it is, whoever receives these blankets that we so lovingly and graciously help to provide, I pray that they would feel our loving arms as well as yours surrounding them. So, Father, bless us today. Give us your peace and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Miss Dorothy said she was freezing.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you.
I don't think we have Sunday school today, right?
Miss Maria.
So you have to stay with your mom today, okay? No? Okay. Well.
This feels good.
Time in our service that we are serious enough to know that God listens to our prayers. Amen. God is a good God. And just like with these blankets, if we send these out into the world, we're letting the world know that we care and we love them. So that's a good thing. We've got some folks needing prayer this morning. Some of you may have heard in this past week that Tom Prater passed away, Peggy's husband. They were devoted choir members, and we certainly miss them. I've spoken with Peggy this week. She does plan to come back and spend some time here in the winter, so she's assuring us that we'll see her back again. But just to keep that family, they were living in Louisville, and Tom has passed away. Chuck Ness as well. Chuck, it's good to see you in church today. We're praying for his continued healing after his shoulder surgery and some cold and breathing issues, some pulmonary problems, I guess, but they seem to be doing better, so continue to pray for Chuck as well. Phyllis Harrington, she is still in Avanta Health Care rehab facility. Donna Harris is lifting up a friend, Erwin, who's been ill. Dixie Epstein in the final stages of lung cancer, so Epstein family, keep in your prayers. Jesse has some blood issues and heart conditions, so just continue to lift Jesse up. Gary Simmons will be having oral surgery this tomorrow, actually, so Gary, for you and for a quick procedure and quick healing with that as well. And praises for God's blessings and thankful for opportunities and challenges and His guidance. And we all need that as well. Family of a young woman who passed away this week of a drug overdose, so her family and those that love her as well. Kevin Howard, another friend of Barbara and I, is having a pacemaker replaced. A young man who's had congenital heart problems as well. Jamila, Emma's granddaughter, going through some tough times. And Andy, good to see you in church today. Just to continue to pray for his faith and for health issues as well. Kate and Ruthie also suffering from health concerns this week. I know you bring things this morning. This is the time and our opportunity to go before the Lord in prayer. I would pray that you would reach out to your God this morning and bring your concerns and your prayers to the altar today. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Gracious God, you are an awesome God. God, we're so grateful that you call us as Little Lakeside United Methodist Church to reach out to hurting people around the world through these blankets and fishing nets and the things that Church World Services provides for people in need. Father, we're grateful that you can use us, that you stretch us beyond our boundaries, and that we would be grateful for what we can do for others. Father, we are thankful for the work that you've done in Church World Services. Heavenly Father, we lift up our members of our congregation today, friends of our congregation, and relatives of those suffering with ill health today. Father, some of these requests are very serious. Some of those folks mentioned are facing end of life situations. And Father, we pray that they are ready to come home. Father, we pray that their faith has held them and kept them strong during these troubling and trying times. And Father, as they go on to receive their ultimate healing, we pray for those left behind. Many suffer today after many years of losing a loved one. I pray that you would ease our minds, that you would give us strength and courage to meet each new day. Father, we pray for the families who are left here to pick up the pieces, to go on with their lives, and to honor God in all they do. Father, thank you Father, today we pray for our community. We pray that the bloodshed and violence and ill will toward one another would find a way to reflect your love in the world. Those people that manifest these deeds, senseless shootings in factories, random violence on the streets, the abduction of small children, the cruelty and evilness that we show towards one another. Father, I pray today that your will would be seen in the world as our only chance at hope, our only chance of sharing God's love with the world, because only your love will change things as we see them. Father, I pray for everyone seeking government office during this next year. Those that lead us as a country, a nation, those that make decisions on our behalf, I pray your discernment would fill them. Father, I pray that they would seek you first in decisions they make, in world-affecting decisions. Father, I pray that you would guide them. Let us be strong as a country when we need to be strong. But let us also show the loving compassion of Christ in the world. So, Father, we come to you today celebrating joyfully this journey called Lent. Father, we pray that you are preparing our hearts for the eternal gift to come. The gift that comes from a man dying on a cross. A gift that comes from a willing Savior. A gift that comes from you in the form of your Son. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. Thank you for new life. Thank you for old life. Thank you for those that will be coming home soon, that they are ready and prepared to meet you. So, Father, be with us today in our service. Those that will be participating, we pray a blessing upon them as well. Father, bless us. Keep us strong in our faith. Keep us walking steadfastly by your side. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Blessings. Would the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
message today is warnings from the wilderness. Anyone spend any time in the real wilderness? Well, I mean in the real wilderness. Did you learn any lessons there? You probably learned what not to do to get yourself in the wilderness, right? That's cool. How many went back to the wilderness for some of the same reasons time and time again? How many times do we continue to go to the wilderness and say, God, what's happening here? Do you like to get advice from people that have been in the wilderness? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes we're like, oh, that could never happen to me. Our scripture today is coming from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 13. And in my Bible, the heading for this chapter says, Warning from the Wilderness Generation. What it's speaking of here is the Israelites. But I think today our generation can be considered a wilderness generation. Can you? Are we going back as a culture back to the wilderness? Are you not so sure about that, huh? Well, here are these words that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be sure of the fact that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they went through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. However, God was unhappy with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. How many of our family and friends have been struck down while they're in the wilderness? These things were examples for us, so we don't crave evil things like they did. Don't worship false gods like some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they got up to play. Let's not practice sexual immorality like some of them did, and 23,000 died in one day. Let's not test Christ like some of them did and were killed by the snakes. Let's not grumble like some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example and were written as a warning for us to whom the end of time has come. So those who think they are standing need to watch out or else they may fall. No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people. But God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this message of endurance. You will not place anything upon our yoke that we cannot endure, that we cannot bear. So, Father, put a blessing upon this message. Let us take the warnings of our ancestors from the wilderness through this passage of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't necessarily like getting advice, for I know everything. Right, honey? Oh, she's hiding her face.
Where's your mother?
Uh-oh. I forgot about her. Do we like to live and learn from history? Paul here is speaking about his people's history. How many times do we repeat our history? If we don't, I love this thing. If we don't learn from our history, we're doomed to repeat it. Do you think God's sitting up there saying, good grief, people. Time after time after time. You just keep repeating this history. Folks, we may not like to get advice. Paul here is giving some pretty strong advice to the Corinthian church. You know what? The Corinthian church was a lot like us today. We're pretty strong, pretty smart people. We won't fall to those same things that those folks before us fell for. Something goofy happened to me on Facebook this week. A friend that I've been friends with on Facebook for a long time, I got a friend request asking to be my friend. And you know me, I want to be everyone's friend. But I thought, well, we're already friends. Why am I getting this friend request? So I hit accept. And away it went. And then there's 100 responses. Don't click on the friend request. It's a scam. You've been hacked. Now, I knew that that was a scam before I could accept. But my brain didn't catch up. My brain has a tendency to run about 3 steps behind me most of the time. Anyone else suffer from that? When my brain catches up, it's like, wow, did your mouth realize what it just said? Things we know and we continue to do. That's what Paul is talking about here. You know, learning lessons, life lessons the hard way. We don't always do it. Do we always learn from our lessons the first time? I think some of you suffer from the same maladies that I do. We don't always learn the first time out. And Paul is telling the church in Corinth that learn your lessons when it comes to Christian living. Now, we've heard these lessons all our lives, right? We've heard the talk against sin and things that separate us from the love of Christ. That how we separate ourselves from the love of Christ. Does Christ's love ever separate itself from us? No, it doesn't. But Paul wanted to teach them this lesson. He uses the history of the Israelites to teach them that what they're doing is not right. Warnings from the wilderness. Now, Corinth, it was like a big mega city. You went there to be noticed. It was the place to be. The elite class lived there. You went there to be seen. They were smart people. It was a commercial center. A lot of people there. This country was like the country club. I've always wanted to belong to a country club. Never had the chance to do it. But someday I would like to put on my best clothes and go to the country club and have lunch. Those lunches are sort of expensive at the country club, aren't they? You've got to join the country club and then you have to pay for your meals, right? I thought, I'm a member. I'll take that big steak and put it on their tab. That's what this city was like. Corinth was like that. It was the country club set. And they thought that they were worshiping Christians. They took communion. They celebrated the sacraments. They went to the church on Sunday and heard a good message from their pastor. I guess. But then they left the church and they went back into the world. And that's what Paul is warning them about. These people wanted to walk the tightrope. Do we do that today? We're good Christians, but if we get an opportunity to just venture on the other side of the line for just an hour or two, are we easily swayed across the line? We can be. I have to remind myself on a daily basis to don't step across the line. The line's always there. And I tell you, there's some nice looking stuff on the other side of the line. Anyone face that before? Looking over there and said, boy, that looks nice. But don't do it. It's a trick. Usually those things we step across the line for are short-lived, aren't they? They're quickly gone, or it's never enough. We need more of that. It's never enough. The other side of the line is never enough, isn't it? Think about that. Those that suffer from addiction, financial problems. We try to fix a financial problem by doing something that's just not quite right. Most of the time, it doesn't get any better, does it? It just gets a lot worse. The things we see on the other side of the line are things that we sometimes say we can handle ourselves. That goes back to my old saying, you hear me say, when things are going good, aren't I doing well? When things are going bad, why, God, have you let this happen? The bad things aren't my fault. I'm a smart person. I keep myself out of trouble. When things are good, it's because I'm good. When things are bad, it's God's got a problem. It's just the opposite. What Paul is doing here is trying to warn them, to put the red flashing lights up, to say, look at your history. The warning bells are going off. Let me ask you, do you think the warning bells are going off in our culture today, in our society? Man, I see warning bells everywhere thinking, what are people thinking? What are you doing? Do you see good coming from any of this? So far, God hasn't dealt with us the same way He did with the Israelites as they wandered around. He killed a bunch of them, didn't He? He cleaned up some of the mess. It says here in this, all over 20 years old died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. Most of us would not have a chance. I'm a little over 20. My knees are 70, but I'm about 20 up here. Paul is telling them about their laundry, their dirty laundry list. You folks aren't getting it right. You're not doing any better. And God can take care of this. Don't force God's hand. Don't force God to be serious with you and strike us down. The warning signs are there. These folks that he's speaking to were baptized. Like I said, they took Holy Communion. What more do they need to do? They're good Christians. But they fell into sin. That's why they call it falling into sin. It's easy just to fall into sin. What if you had to jump up into sin? I can't jump up anymore. I won't sin anymore if I had to jump up into sin. But we fall into sin. The church in Corinth was doing it. The Israelites in the wilderness were doing it. Are we destined for failure or destined for success? Our success at our own hands is destined for failure, isn't it? Our success at God's hands is guaranteed, isn't it? The older I get, I'm sort of gaining some comfort from the fact that God is going to take care of me in one way or the other, no matter what I do to try to stop Him. Does that make sense? Sometimes I do my darndest to stop God from taking care of me. I pray you're not like me. I pray that we've learned from our history. We stood on shaky ground. Our knees have buckled against the pressure of sin. But Jesus has come and shown us what we're going to celebrate on Easter morning. Are you happy that your resurrection is assured in Christ? In Christ, there's a kicker. Just because you say that sounds like fun, I'm going to go there. There's something to do. Christ came, Christ died on the cross. Hopefully none of us will have to die on a cross. Hopefully we're ready. Do you think God likes to strike us down? Does God punish us? Or do we punish ourselves? He's not standing there, boy, I got them right where I want them now. Watch, they're going to do this and I am just going to get them. God is saying, please don't do that. Turn towards me. Turn away from sin. Turn away from what separates you from me. We separate ourselves from God. God never separates himself from us. That's what Paul is telling the church here. That's what I'm telling you here today. Maybe not on the same level of expertise that Paul spoke from. But your Lord loves you. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. The Lord has promised it to us. Do you live in that promise? Do you live in the promise of Christ? Let me ask you that. Do you live in the promise of Christ today in your life? Depression is a formidable adversary in our society, in our culture today, in our own church, in our own community, in our nation. I speak to people all the time who are suffering from depression. I suffer from depression, I think. See, I'm pretty good, but I think I might have a little depression issue sometimes. I know I get depressed when I can't do things I think God is calling me to do. And then I have to be reminded maybe God's not calling me to do that. I'm trying to do that because of me. You've got to be careful with that. God told me to do this, and it won't happen. Well, if God told you to do that, God's going to let it happen. He's going to make it happen. I hope you have stories where God has done things in your lives that happened despite your efforts to do it your way. So today we're getting warnings from the wilderness. The people wandering around out there, they got into trouble. People wander around out here getting in trouble. Those of us wander around in here, get into trouble. But God loves you. God is promising you something through Christ. That's what Paul was telling the Corinthians. God has got this right. Listen to him. For sin separates you from the love of Christ. Get away from it. Get away from it. Let's pray. Gracious God, where we fall short, where we wander in the wilderness, let us come out the other side better people. Let us come out the other side as Christ believing, Christ following, Christ seeking people. Father, I pray as we go from this place today, that we will take the warnings, the red flashing lights that Paul speaks about here. We will put them before us. Where we feel ourselves slipping into sin, I pray that we would be pulled back across the line. And Father, I also pray that when we're on the wrong side of the line, when we've stepped across that line, you are willing and eager to welcome us back in. Father, we love you. We pray that you would bless us. We pray your Son has freed us. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. In closing hymn, Jesus calls us.
Thank you.
Our men will be going on the men's retreat. Don't forget about our meeting over here in the library at the church. We have a special guest speaker for next Sunday. My wife, Nancy, is going to share with us, with you all. So what a blessing it will be for us to hear her tell us about forgiveness. So don't forget our meeting today. Be sure to come next week. And I look forward to, hearing her speak. Receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, let us learn from our lessons in the wilderness. Father, do not let us be doomed to repeat those things that have hurt us. Father, we pray your protection on us as we leave this place. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Nice blanket you got there.
Did she?